Well, good morning and welcome. It is the Prayer Closet. I'm Pastor Tommy Briggs. Thanks for joining us this morning. On this half hour, we take out of every day to lift up your needs, cares, concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer request for us today, we want to pray for you. 419-389-0893. It's 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. Let us know what's on your heart today, and we'll lift it up before the Lord on the Prayer Closet. Once again, 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. And remember, we always keep your prayer requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information, so don't want you to not receive the prayer you need just because maybe it's something personal. Or that's fine. We understand. We're not here to embarrass anybody. God knows who you are. That's what matters. And so you don't even have to tell us who you are when you call in. Just let us know what your need is, and then we'll lift it up before the Lord on the Prayer Closet. 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity we have to come before you, knowing that you hear every request that we have and are ready to meet every need that we have. And so we thank you, Lord. We praise you and celebrate you for this. We celebrate you that you are ready to hear from us, ready to meet with us, to encourage us, to help us. You are good and gracious and loving God. And we thank you. We praise you. We give you all glory this day, Lord, and pray that you would just glorify yourself in the lives of these listeners as they call in with these needs and as you move to meet them. Lord, that you would glorify yourself and that they would give glory to you, knowing that you are the good and loving Father meeting their every need. And we pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen. Once again, 419-389-0893 is the number to call to get your prayer request in, or email or text at prayer@yeshome.com. And before we get into our prayer request, we always like to get in the Word of God first, get our hearts kind of ready and settled and our minds focused on the Lord. And we've been looking at the life of Abraham last couple of weeks, and we're actually going to finish up today as we look at the death of Abraham and finish out his life as we walk through this journey. And I'm going to read the story first, and then we'll kind of look back at his life, because I think both the story of his death and his life, there's a lesson to teach us here, an important lesson to teach us. So we're in chapter 25 of Genesis. It says, Abraham took another wife, whose name was Keturah, and she bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. Jokshan was the father of Sheba and Dedan and the descendants, and it goes on to some of the descendants. We're not going to read all that. Verse 5, it says, Abraham left everything he owed to Isaac, but while he was still living, he gave gifts to the sons of his concubines and sent them away from his son Isaac to the land of the east. Altogether, Abraham lived 175 years. Then Abraham breathed his last and died at a good old age, an old man and full of years, and he was gathered to his people. His sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah near Mamre, in the field of Ephron, son of Zohar the Hittite, the field Abraham had bought from the Hittites. There Abraham was buried with his wife Sarah. After Abraham's death, God blessed his son Isaac, who then lived near Beer Lahairoi. So we see Abraham as we've followed his journey, you know, and we really pick up his life. He's 75 years old. So when God first calls him, tells him to leave his land, leave his home, go to the land he would show him, and that God would make him a great nation. So immediately he's faced with two challenges. One, he's got to leave his land, his family, everything that matters to him. Everything, you know, nowadays we move at the drop of a hat, right? You move across country, take a job, whatever. But you just didn't do that in those days. You didn't move away from your family. You didn't move away from your tribe, your people. You stayed with them. To be banished from them or move away from them was considered, you know, terrible. It was a tragedy. But God calls him to do so, and Abraham does. And he promises to make him a great nation, which is the second problem because he doesn't have any kids. And so because he's old, you know, it's not likely to have any kids. But God makes him a promise that he'll have descendants more numerous than the stars. And so Abraham believes this, and he spends his life following God. And there are ups and downs, and we've looked at them. You know, he had moments of great faith, other moments where his faith failed him a little bit. He struggled at times, but for the most of his life, you know, the trajectory of his life was one of obedience to the Lord. And so he ends up in the land that God shows him, the promised land. And here in his death, I think we see, you know, the culmination of the fulfillment of those promises. One, after Sarah dies, Abraham takes another wife and has more sons. He has more descendants, you know. So sometimes we think, oh, he just had the two sons, Isaac and Ishmael. But that's not the case. He had many sons. But notice he sends them when he's getting ready to take care of them. You know, he left everything he owned to Isaac. Isaac is the inheritor of everything. But he gives gifts to all these other sons and sends them off east. And he sends them back home, basically, back to the land he came from. All these other sons he sends back to the land he came from. It is Isaac who will inherit the land because Isaac is the child of promise. So while I have no doubt that Abraham loved these children and loved these sons, he always recognized that Isaac was the son of promise. He was the one God had set aside. He was the child that God had promised. And so he didn't want these other sons to be there and in any way infringe upon Isaac's inheritance of the land, because that would be infringing upon God's plans and God's purposes. Well, I'm sure it saddened him to send these sons away. Nonetheless, he did it. I don't think this was like, oh, I don't care about these kids. I just don't think that's Abraham. I don't think that's his character and nature. I'm sure he loved all of his children and cared for them and was concerned for them. And he does take care of them. But his greatest concern is for the Lord. And we see that again here. His greatest concern is that God's plan and purposes be fulfilled. And we talked yesterday about how even in God's promises, yesterday, the day before, I don't know. But we talked about how even in God's promises require our obedience as well, not just his commands. And so we hear, once again, Abraham showing his obedience to the promise of God to ensure that Isaac inherits the land without rival so that God's purposes can be fulfilled. He does a hard thing and sends his children away back east. Now, he's not banishing them, right? He's sending them back to his people, back to his homeland, back to the people of their family. Not casting them out into the outer darkness or the wilderness, but he is sending them away. To the last, Abraham ensuring that God's purposes will stand. And then we're told that at that point, 175 years old, Abraham breathed his last and died, full of years, as he says, to a good old age. And he was gathered to his people. Now think about that, because he's not buried with his people. They don't take Abraham back to the land where he came from to bury him, which would normally have been the course. I mean, that would have been the custom, to take him back and bury him with his ancestors. But he doesn't, because Abraham had bought this cave, this grave in the field from Ephron the Hittite. And we talked about that a couple days ago, to bury Sarah when she died. And he himself is buried there. Breaking with custom, breaking with tradition, breaking with what normally would have been done, because what normally would have been done is his body would have been carried back to the land that he came from, to the land of his ancestors. But here his body was not carried back, because that wasn't his land any longer. Jacob died in Egypt, and he told his sons, take me back to the land. You promise me when you leave, you'll take my bones back to the land that God inherited, to the promised land. Don't let me lie here in the Egyptian land. Let me rest in the land God gave us. Well, that begins with Abraham. Abraham has shown that he is fully committed to this. He has made the break with his past, and he's fully committed to the land and the purposes God had given him. And so he's buried there with Sarah in this land, not with his ancestors, but with his God, to ensure that this is the promised land. This is the land God gave us. This is the land of promise. This is now where we belong. This is our home. This is now our home. And throughout the life of Abraham, what we see is a man of immense faith, a man who grows in faith, a man who, not perfectly, has his struggles and his ups and his downs, but as he has his ups and downs, he grows and he learns from them, and his faith is greater at the end than it was at the beginning. There's not a lot of stories in the Bible about people who end well, especially in the Old Testament. David didn't end particularly well. Solomon didn't end particularly well. A lot of these great heroes of the Bible, even Moses, had some trouble there at the end, wasn't able to enter in the promised land. Didn't end particularly well. Abraham is an exception to that rule. Abraham's life ends well. There's no major stumbles at the end. There's no major failures at the end. There's no, Bathsheba moment with Abraham. No striking the rock like with Moses. Instead, we see a faith that grows. And in fact, the last test that he faces is his greatest, maybe, moment of faith and his greatest success, when God asks him to sacrifice Isaac, and he obeys before, of course, God provides a substitute and doesn't allow him to harm Isaac. That would have been the moment that a lot of people got tripped up, but he didn't. He's one of those rare examples of someone whose life ends really well, who lives faith to the end, who doesn't get tripped up, who doesn't lose his way, who's greater at the end than he was at the beginning. David was not as great at the end of his life as he was at the middle. Solomon certainly wasn't. Many of the characters of the Bible weren't. But Abraham was. And to the very end, you see him concerned with the things of the Lord, concerned with God's purposes, concerned with what God's doing, concerned with God's command, concerned with making sure that God's purposes stood. And I think that was the secret. Why was he able to finish so well? Because he never lost his concern and his desire to see God's purposes stand. It's always what motivated him. It's what moved him. It's what animated his whole life. God had made promises. He had purposes. And Abraham brought his life in line with those promises and those purposes. That became his focus on seeing those lived out. And again, he didn't always do it perfectly, but the focus never wavered. It never changed. How can we live our lives so that we are faithful from beginning to end? So that we end as well as we began? We don't lose our way. We have to keep our focus on the purposes of God. What are God's purposes? What has he called me to do in light of those purposes? And then commit ourselves to that without being wavered or moved or shaken, but setting our eyes on what the prize that God has called us toward. We go back to that verse in Philippians we talked about the other day where Paul says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I set my sights on the prize set before me, that I have been called heavenward in Jesus Christ. Setting ourselves on the goal, the prize, the purpose, and never wavering. If we can do that, then we will end as well as we began. We'll come back with your prayer requests, 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. Your prayer requests, 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. And I have a couple of requests in, so let's jump in. First of all, I asked him prayer. Someone asked him for prayer for their mom. She took a new medication for her thyroid and seemed to have a bad reaction to it. Ended up in the hospital. It was just real weak and couldn't get up. And so just prayers for her moving forward that they'll be able to deal with this. And also prayers for the listener themselves as they're dealing with some food poisoning. Lord, we do lift this listener's mother up to you as she's had this reaction to this medication. And Lord, we pray that you bring healing to her, that Lord, maybe they find a better medication to help her thyroid, something that won't interact with her and cause these problems that she had. Pray that she'll recover her strength back. Lord, that she'll be able to get back home. I know she's staying with the listener's sister right now. But Lord, we pray that she'll be able to recover her strength, able to be returned home. And Lord, that they will get the proper medication for her to deal with this thyroid. And we pray for this listener as they're struggling with some food poisoning and just still very ill from that. Lord, pray for a quick and speedy recovery for that. And you'll help them to get back to health in a very speedy manner. We pray this in your name. Amen. And another listener writes in, says their job is they drive around delivering flowers, and they just ask for prayer for work area to know Christ. Lord, we pray for this person as they're driving around delivering flowers that you could use them to be your light into this world. Lord, that as they're making these deliveries, that Lord, you may even open up opportunities for them to share the gospel, for them to be a light of Christ to them. Lord, let that love of and hope that they have in Jesus Christ be so apparent that, as it says in Peter, that they will ask. People will ask for the hope that they have, the reason for the hope that they have, and they'll have opportunity to share the hope of Christ with those who ask. And Lord, we just pray for divine appointments, divine opportunities to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ for them. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Thanks so much for tuning into the Prayer Closet. Remember, you can always check us out, or always get your prayer request to us, I should say, by emailing or texting at prayer@yeshome.com. You can call our office Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 419-389-0893, and you can get your prayer request to us there. And, you know, there'll be somebody here happy to pray with you. And you can always get connected to a live online spiritual coach for an online chat session at our website, yeshome.com. Just click the chat now button. God bless everybody. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow on the Prayer Closet.